I want us to go back to the beginning of Exodus chapter 18 as we begin today. We know that Israel is getting very close now to Mount Sinai. We know that at Rephidim, the water needs were satisfied by water coming from the rock at Horeb, or Mount Sinai, which was probably another day's travel in front of them. So they are within a day's walk of Mount Sinai when they have their last Sabbath rest, in that the beginning of their seventh week of their trip from Egypt to Mount Sinai. During this latter portion of time, Moses' father-in-law gets word that his son-in-law and all of those Israelis are about to arrive at Mount Sinai. And so he wants to connect up with them at Mount Sinai. Now, he's only a couple of days' walk from there, maybe one. So he starts making preparations so that he will meet them once they've set camp up at Mount Sinai. And so that's the thrust of the chronology, the timing in chapter number 18. Now, in our next chapter, chapter 19, we'll find out that Israel will make that encampment at Mount Sinai on the first day of the third month, which is the Tuesday, I think. Let me double-check my notes here. No, it's the Monday of that last week, week before God meets with them at Mount Sinai. So we're talking about the seventh week of travel. So there are some things in chapter 18 that don't happen until almost a year later. I'm just going to give you a heads up on that. There's information here that will be clarified with information farther into Moses' books. And I will make a big deal out of it once we get to that section. But here we go with just the parts that I want us to be aware of before we move on. Chapter 18 says, Jethro, now that's probably his birth name, the priest of Midian, which is probably why he's called Reuel. Reuel means the shepherd of God or the friend of God. And we know that he is apparently got some sort of understanding of the true and living God, and that that probably helped Moses' relationship with him during the last 40 years. So Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how he who is had brought Israel out of Egypt. So that's what I just summarized a while ago. He gets word that they are about to arrive at Mount Sinai. Now, he knew from talking with Moses several months earlier that the plan was to come back to Mount Sinai. Verse number 2. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home. Now that was when she got really mad about having to circumcise their second son because God had done something with Moses on the road from Midian to Mount Sinai and then on to Egypt, where unless Zipporah gave in, and actually did the circumcision, by her own hand, Moses might have died. And so she had circumcised the baby or the young man, threw the foreskin at Moses' feet, called him a bloody groom. And then, as I characterized it, she stormed off home with the two boys. here, we are told that Moses basically told her, if you're going to be that way, go home. He dismissed her. So that's been several months ago. And Dad wants to get them back together. He wants to repair this relationship. That's kind of like a priestly sort of thing, isn't it? But it's also a fatherly sort of thing. So we're mentioned here in verse 3 about the two sons, and we have their names as a reminder. The name of the one was Gershom, for he had said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. So that's the first boy that was born. And Moses says, I'm going to name him Sojourner because that's what I'm doing here. The name of the other he called Eleazar, which he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Eleazar means my God is a helper or has helped. So those are the two boys. We don't know exactly how old they are. If Moses got married toward the end of the 40 years, then they are certainly young boys. Now, the next part of the story says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now, that's the next story in chapter 19 where they arrive at Mount Sinai. And as I said, they're going to arrive on a Monday, and then they will meet with God the following Sunday, because it'll be the first Pentecost ever, the 50th day since their departure from Egypt. So they are there for several days before the big event of the Ten Commandments being given. And the next part of the story, I think, has to happen during that small space of time. Verse number 6. When he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. So basically, hey, I'm getting ready to show up with your wife, your two boys, and I think it's implied here, and we need to get you guys working this out. Because you didn't depart, you know, each other's company on good terms. So this has got to be worked through. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him. So this tells you that Moses has the greatest respect for his father-in-law. He treats him with great respect. He's known him for 40 years. And this whole time, his father-in-law has been Reuel, the friend of God, the shepherd of God. He's been the priest of Midian. He's been the religious or spiritual leader that Moses has been looking up to. And so he shows this great honor to him. And then they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Now, the story doesn't tell us anything about the reconciliation period with Moses and Zipporah. We are focused in this passage about leadership. That's the point of this being inserted in the story. So Moses told his father-in-law all that he who is had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. So talking about the plagues, all the hardship that come upon them in the way. So all the trouble, you know, the scary thing of being in that hard place between the mountain and the sea with the Egyptian chariot pursuit force right behind them, and how God helped them through that, how they ran out of supplies, how they ran out of water, but God kept coming through for them. So he's telling them, he's telling his father-in-law, a righteous, religious man apparently, this is what has happened. This is what God has been doing. It's bigger than a burning bush now, Jethro. And so Jethro, hearing all this, rejoiced for all the good that he who is had done to Israel. in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, "Blessed be he who is." Now that's the divine name. Jethro is adopting that divine name. His son-in-law had introduced it to him probably before Moses took off for Egypt. And so he is now using that name about the true God. Blessed be he who is, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. So got them out of slavery. Now I know that he who is greater than all gods, because in this affair, they dealt arrogantly with the people. And so Jethro is verbalizing a renewal of his own faith. That's what I believe. I don't think, as some commentators have suggested, that he was a pagan priest who now converts. I think he was priest of God Most High. I think he already had some sort of relationship with him, but I think it may have been just mundane, just ordinary. Until now, with his son-in-law having the burning of the bush experience with God, and then the whole Exodus experience, he is now saying, "I know that the God who is Most High, the God who is, he is without peer. He is the one and only one beyond a shadow of a doubt." So I think he's rediscovered his own faith at this point. And then he does something of interest. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Now, you've got to get your head wrapped around this. Jethro, Reuel, is the senior spiritual leader in this company here. I don't know how much older he might be than Moses. He doesn't have to be very much older than him. But he is the superior person in religious matters. And so he acts as the priest for everybody by offering a sacrifice to he who is. And Aaron and the elders, which I think are probably 70 in number, they come and participate in this little worship service, this spontaneous worship service, and they eat some of the sacrificial meat, and they eat a meal in honor of the true and living God that Jethro is worshiping with this sacrifice. So it's a great thing to happen when Jethro shows up at Mount Sinai, but it's before the Ten Commandments are given. Verse 13, "The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening." Now, this just kind of jumps off the page at us, but this has been something Moses has been doing for weeks now. They have been taking their time along the way, as I have explained, at some of their campsites, where they would have several days in that particular campsite. And during those days, people are bringing their problems, their disputes, their arguments, their legal dilemmas to the head of this Exodus group, to Moses. Now we're told, several hundreds of thousands of adult men that are in this group, as well as all of their family components. And so this is a big deal that he is having to spend from dawn till dusk listening to people say, well, this guy stole my stuff. I know it was him. Or, we got a problem. This person hurt my animal. Or, I got a problem. This guy is lying about something, and I'm in trouble now. And so those sorts of things are coming up to him. They're not being taken care of at the lower levels. Moses is expected to take care of it. And not just that, some of them are coming and saying, Moses, you need to ask God something for me because I know you talk to him. And so that's how he's spending each of his days as they camp for several days in a row at these places along the way. And so Reuel, who has just arrived the day before, he gets to see that happening. And he knows immediately, oh, that's a big problem. Verse 14, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? Stress the alone part there. And all the people stand around you from morning till evening. And Moses said to his father-in-law, well, it's because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me. And I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes of God and his laws. Now, this is where we have to understand again. The Ten Commandments has not yet been issued. They have just arrived at Mount Sinai on the first day of the third month, and the Ten Commandments are not going to be given until the seventh day of the third month. And so the laws that he's referencing is him basically getting information from God. God, how are we supposed to handle this? How are we supposed to handle that? It's not the straight-up commandments just yet. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you're doing is not good. Now, remember, he has been a priest in Midian for a very long time. And priests, not surprisingly, end up being asked to make decisions about what's right and wrong between peoples based on what God has to say. And so he knows that this is a pretty common thing for priests to have to handle, leaders to have to handle, but you can't do it on your own. He said, what you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. So a father-in-law, excuse me, a father-in-law in leadership is giving advice to his son-in-law who is in leadership, saying, look, you are going to burn yourself out trying to take care of everybody's problems just for yourself. And because you can't do it, it's impossible, other people are going to get ticked off. They're going to be upset and disappointed that you're not taking care of business for them. And so everybody is going to be unhappy. And so he gives some advice. Now, obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws. So it's true, you need to be the intermediary between the people and God and God and the people. There's no doubt about that. But here's how something you can do to tweak this. You shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. So basically, let everybody know what the rules are. Now, that's interesting because God is about to give him a mechanism of being able to present the rules in a nice, clear way. The Ten Commandments. Now, continue. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God. So now he's going to give him characteristics to be looking for. Men who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate a bribe, meaning they can't be bribed. They are just very honest people. Place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands. So that's up at the top tier, close to where Moses is going to be. Of hundreds, that's the next one down. Of 50s, the next one down. Of tens, that's the bottom rank of what Jethro is recommending here. What he's actually saying is you need to put in a legal system that has multiple tiers to it. The lowest tier needs to be able to handle problems that come up between 10 families. And the next one above that, between 50 families. Next one, between 100 families. Next one, between 1,000 families. And so lots and lots of judges, as he calls them, to make sure everybody's case gets heard. Verse 22, let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter, meaning anything they can't handle, and they bump it up. And if the next tier can't take care of it, and they bump it up, and if the next tier can't handle it, they bump it up. And so this is going to make certain that very few cases come all the way up to Moses' attention. Because more than likely, in those multiple tiers, there will be enough wisdom that most everything can be resolved. So let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. Now remember, Moses is actually going to then teach these guys what they need to know. Now, Jethro just wants him to teach what he already knows, but in a short few days, God's going to give plenty more information that Moses could have passed on to these guys. I'll get to the sadness about that in just a moment. If you do this, God will direct you, you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. Now, verse 24, I don't believe happens until almost a year later. I honestly think that Moses kind of blew off his father-in-law like sometimes adult sons do to their fathers or their father-in-laws. Sometimes it happens on the other side of the gender gap where, you know, daughters don't pay attention to mom or dad. It's just that thing where some people are pretty sure, no, I can handle this. I don't need to do what mom or dad are telling me to do. I'm an adult. I know what I'm doing. So Moses apparently blows him off. And spoiler alert, right around the time they leave Mount Sinai next spring, Moses has what we would call a near nervous breakdown. And that breakdown is related to the fact that he is overwhelmed with trying to take care of everybody's problems all by himself. And lo and behold, the story that we'll get to, God says to Moses, Moses, you need to select some people to share this burden of leadership with you. And I'll take some of the spirit from you and put on them, And we even have a description of multi-tier responsibility that God says, Moses, put it in place. And it seems as if God tells Moses, all right, Moses, I gave you a chance to do what your father-in-law suggested. You didn't. Now you've come to this crisis point. I can't let you keep going like this. Get it done. Do what he told you to do because it was good advice. And you know what? This is something we see that happens in leadership from time to time, is that people will get good advice, but they will postpone putting it into practice, and they will then come up to a crisis moment. And somebody will remind them, you know, this is what you really need to do. You need to take the advice you got earlier and put it into place. And thankfully, in many of those cases, they do. Speaking from experience, sometimes we regret that we didn't listen to the earlier advice. But that's kind of the school of hard knocks, isn't it? And too many of us are students and graduates of that school. Well, we will come back to the rest of that story when we get ready to leave Mount Sinai. And that's going to be quite a few lessons out into the future. So, what I want you to do is to read with me verse 1 of chapter 19. On the third new moon, which basically means the first day of the third month, all the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, and on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim, they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel camped before the mountain. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they arrived at Mount Sinai on the first day of the third Jewish month.